You know, there's no real methodology to fight for social justice. It's like happenstance. It's here today and gone tomorrow, and people who came and did a little work, they got a name for themselves, they went to something else, and pretty soon, see, it's like, it's not part, really a part and parcel of what we do every day. It's not like running a store, or making money, or getting a name. It's not like that. Because most people who come to help, people who are kind-hearted, some people might call them do-gooders, but they're kind-hearted people, and they come and help. But the people who are affected, directly affected, don't really get their hands dirty and get the job done. And in social justice, you see, the oppressors always underestimate the oppressed. And the oppressed almost always overestimate the oppressor. They're not that strong. No, if you know what to do, they're not invincible. No one's invincible. There's room, enough room for change anywhere and everywhere. We're going to go through some major changes in our country. We're already going through them, and we don't understand them. We don't accept them. We don't like them. The biggest argument comes when I tell people we're no longer number one, if that meant anything to be number one. And people create, they don't like that because we're America, we're number one at all costs. Hey, somebody has ideas. Other people have ideas to be number one now, and so we've got to deal with that. You see, what we need to understand is that we've got public policy is like looking for a miracle. It's going to happen somehow. We vote and it's going to take place. Oh yeah, certain things take place when you vote. The big issues that are part of the big issues that most people are concerned with, sure, they deal with them because they've got to. But those issues that affect small groups of minorities are left behind because they never have the power to deal with them. You can't, how can you deal, if you're a minority, how can you deal with a problem that's affecting you? You don't even, in our case, our people don't even vote. And how can you, if we have money, we don't have money, how can you impact? Well, you can impact people, you can do things, but watch this. By not depending on politicians to do it for you, although there's some good politicians, but not that many. I'm telling you, I've been at it for 41 years. You tell me, I've been through the whole gamut. I've been through the whole thing. I was the champion. I went to register Chicanos to vote in California back in 1948, before people knew there was voting. And we had all the fights with the county registrar voters who didn't want us to register to vote. I went through all that, being called a communist because I wanted people to vote. And I went and we did the biggest registration drives in Americanization. Imagine doing Americanization programs to get people to become citizens and vote, and then doing the MacArthur era calling you a communist and shutting you off because you can't work because you're trying to get people to become American citizens. God. But watch what happens. Watch what happens. Watch what happens in public in the whole fight for social justice. You work like heck, and you elect, if you're lucky enough, you get a politician who really is a nice guy and made promises, and you know him is going to keep them. And you elect him, if you're lucky enough. Somehow he's elected. In California, it takes millions to elect people these days, you know, more every year. And he goes to office, and after a couple of years, he begins to vote wrong because, well, you're not there. You're working. You can't be there in Sacramento watching him. The lobbyists are there. The lobbyists are there, and they've got the money. They got the power in them. You're out there working. You can't be in Sacramento or Washington taking care of them. And so pretty soon he starts going wrong. And so then we voted, and we won by a majority vote. And we worked like heck to get the majority to vote for this individual, to get him elected, to send him to Washington, send him to the state legislature. And then not everybody can vote because they've got this rule that if you're not a citizen, you can't vote. And we think that's archaic. I mean, why can anybody be able to vote? We used to do it before in this country. Yeah, but you had to own land. But you own land, you could vote. If I'm not a citizen, I own a lot, why shouldn't I be able to vote like the founding fathers did it way back then? But that's another issue. So what happens, they can't vote. They can't vote. But watch this. If you take public action, you don't need 51% to win. and the polls never close, and you can vote more than once. In fact, if you live near a store that's open 24 hours a day, you can vote 24 hours a day. You see, people need to know this is how it works. This is how it works. The table grape industry is the biggest industry in California. You know about billions of dollars. These cats are powerful and rich, and they take care of you quickly there. But once we come to Boston, look at they can't do anything to me here at Harvard. Their arm doesn't reach out here. They haven't figured that one yet. So if you don't buy grapes, you're voting. Imagine how long it would take to get Congress to pass a bill to investigate the cancer clusters in California. You know how long it would take? We die of old age and it never happened. But if you don't buy grapes, when we boycott liquor, wine, liquor, 3% of the population, 3% of the consumers of liquor, wine, for example, is enough to win, 3%. When we boycott a product that is that has a label on it and has a long shelf life, 6%, 6.5%. And when you do a boycott, a generic boycott, when I come, I tell you, boycott all grapes. That's a generic boycott. We don't care what labels, just all grapes, about 9%. This takes more. Because Americans don't buy produce by label. You don't buy peaches by label or grapes or carrots. Maybe pineapples and maybe bananas, maybe. You buy them by how they look, the price, how you feel about the particular vegetable or fruit, but not by labels. So then you do it generically and get rid of the problem. You see, the fight and the work for social justice has never been managed. It's never been take an organization of people who are affected and stay with it for as long as it takes. I mean, never give up. They haven't ever really looked into the power at the marketplace. And let me tell you another thing. And even those who come out and tell you to help them, they don't tell you exactly what to do. It's complicated. We've been doing it for 30 years, and we tell you exactly what to do. Just don't eat grapes. That's very simple. We don't say come to a rally. We don't say go march with us. We don't say give us money. All we want to do, you can, of course, but see, because we know the American public, we think we know very well. We don't want you to lose a step in your daily life, in your routine, and still help us. That's the trick. So all you do is when you go to the supermarket, you just pass the grapes by. Doesn't take time, effort, just takes remembering. See what I mean? Now, if I came here and I asked you to join me, we're going to have a big parade. We're going to pick it at the supermarket down the street tomorrow. We get about 5 people to come. Because we know that if you need help from the public, you have to make it simple. Doesn't cost time, doesn't take you out of your routine, and you can still help and be effective. Now, the big problem is I got to make you believe that you can be effective. If you can believe that much, we're in good shape. Social justice is elusive. Social justice is usually fought by people who are not the victims, but trying to help someone, as I said earlier. And social justice is a kind of misused word anyway. Social injustice is probably better. It says more. I was reflecting today before I came here. I just kind of playing the tape back. It's going to be 42 years pretty soon. Now, what have I done in 42 years? Well, 19 years before I had a first victory. 19 years. I didn't have a victory. I didn't know what victory was. It took me 19 years to say, wow, this is how it feels to be victorious? Great, you know. But it took that long. And second is, the most asked question of friends, as I travel all over the country, the press, the one question people ask me, the more anything else they say, how do you do it? Don't you get discouraged? It's never crossed my mind getting discouraged. They say, Don't you get fed up? I get tons of mail, and 10% of my mail is questioning, how do you stay with it? Very simple. Just stay with it. I have nothing else to do. Nothing else to do. I don't own a house, and I don't own a car. I don't have a bank account. I have nothing. But I have ideas, and I love to raise hell. And I'd like to do it nonviolently. I like to respect people, but I also like people respect people.